The year is 1877. The Dakota Territory is a grim and desolate place, but in the small town of Sweet Ravine, law and order rule. The keeper of that peace is the most feared gunslinger west of the Mississippi. Hold on to those 10-gallon hats as we present the adventures of Sheriff Rawhide Law. Some highfalutin feller once said, "If music be the food of love, play on." Obviously, this man didn't know the first thing about romance. Everyone knows full well that the food of love is, well, food. The miner's wife sends him on his way with a pasty he will swear is better than any other woman could bake. The rich man brings a debutante he is courting to the most expensive restaurant he can find to show her his affection. And if anything says love more than waking before the crack of dawn on a cold winter's night to cook a hot breakfast for a hard-working farmer, well, I don't know what it could be. While we humans eat to survive, we feast to prove that life isn't just about survival. And in some very specific moments, we might just try to prove to the world that the food we're making for our loved ones is a mite bit better than anything our neighbors can make.
You're a brave man, Reverend Michaels.
I seriously doubt they'd do me an injury.
Only because you're a preacher, and you should probably remember there are more than a couple of heathens out there. Also, how come he gets to be brave and not your ever-loving wife, Mr. Law?
Simmer down, darling. We can only hope the ladies of Sweet Ravine fear the Reverend's employer about half as much as they fear your cult peacemaker.
So I don't need to be brave, I just need for no one else to be?
Yeah, sounds about right.
I'll take it.
Of course, there's the unintentional danger we both face, Alex. I've been doing this for about 10 years now, and I've managed to keep the contents of my stomach in place every year so far, but...
11th time might be the charm. Remind me again why our illustrious mayor isn't judging like he does most every year.
He's not feeling at his best today.
So he says. And it's interesting that he asked me to take over 3 days ago before he was feeling unwell.
Charity, Sheriff.
Charity's pie I'm looking forward to. Have you seen the size of that mulberry tree she's got out by the stream? They're preserves by this time of year, but those are some sweet berries.
Shall we, then?
Can we revisit the question of how I became master of ceremonies at this event?
You are one of the few husbands whose wife didn't enter this contest.
And it has to be a husband because...
Because unmarried men have a habit of trying to skew the judging in favor of the young woman they're sweet on.
The politics of pie tasting are more cutthroat than I initially realized. All right, let's get this started. Thank you, everyone. So glad you could make it out this afternoon. Now, just about every woman in Sweet Ravine brought a pie today, but some of them are looking a mite prettier than others, and they've advanced to the final round to be judged. If your pie didn't make it this far...
Then deal with it.
I was going to say something about it was probably still pretty tasty, but I find life is smoother if I don't contradict my wife.
Longer, too, I suspect.
All right. Without further ado... Our first pie is a mulberry pie by Mrs. Charity Campbell.
Well, that's a good way to start a contest.
Tough to beat, that's for certain.
And now we have a mixed berry pie presented by Miss Jody.
Everything all right?
Not to criticize, Jody, but I feel like you make much better pies every day in your saloon.
You mean the pies that the customers actually pay for, and that don't come from the berries I wanted to use up before they went bad?
Are you trying to throw this contest, Jody?
Absolutely, Sheriff.
Well, just tell me next time instead of making me eat the dang thing. What's next?
Wasn't there a mincemeat pie from the temperance movement?
Yes, but the alcohol fumes from that pie caught fire when they put it too close to the candles. We had to institute a rule last year that no pie could be more than 60 proof, so they are disqualified. So, next we have an apple pie by our own deputy, Kitty McAllister.
Perhaps I shouldn't be one of the judges. You are my own deputy, Kitty.
Oh, don't worry about it, sir. I am not going to win today.
Well, Let's just see about that. And we've seen about it. That was awful.
Yeah, I don't think the apples we got around here are the kind you make a pie from.
And finally, Miss Jessie Malone with a... All right, this note says a shuffle pie, but I suspect that's wrong.
It's a shoe fly pie, Caleb.
Oh, I haven't had one of these since I was a boy.
I'm trusting you, Jessie. There's a fair number of folks in this town who I'd be asking what percentage of fly this recipe calls for.
Just try it, Alex.
Oh, now that's not bad at all.
Even better than I remember.
Well, if those are all the pies, I know where my vote is going.
I think we are in agreement, Sheriff. The Blue Ribbon Pie for this year is Miss Jessie Malone.
Cletus!
I didn't do it!
Now, what exactly is it you didn't do?
I don't know, Brother Barnabas, but she'll tell me in a minute.
Don't call me Brother Barnabas.
Don't scold your brother.
Ow!
Stop it, you two. Don't fire. What would Pa say?
Pa would say, why ain't you hitting your sister back, you little cuss? Ow!
Tain't nice to talk about Pa that way.
Orally, you stop hitting me in the back of the head this very minute.
You tell it, Brother Barnabas.
Don't call me Brother Barnabas.
Don't scold your brother.
Ow! All right, that's enough. Now, as I recall, this whole thing started when you yelled at Cletus for some blamed thing. Now, what is it he done that he says he didn't do, even though he don't know what it is yet?
Was that English?
He was fixing to get up from the table when we ain't all had dessert yet.
Sissy, I didn't mean nothing by it. I just wanted to make sure there was enough for everybody. Look, there's only 3 pieces.
Of course there's only 3 pieces, you nincompoop. There's only 3 of us.
Oh, there is? I must have miscalculated.
I worked very hard on this here pound cake.
With a kind of two.
Cletus, stop trying to do the math. You might get the right answer, and then I'd have to keel over from the shock. Now, your sister made this here pound cake, and we're gonna eat it.
I'm not really hungry, Brother Barnabas.
Don't call me Brother Orly. You put your hand down this second. I told you to stop that. Now look, Cletus, our big sister put a lot of work into this pound cake, and it don't sound like you're being appreciative. Orly, you tell this fool all the hard work that went into this. Where do you get the recipe?
Oh, Barnabas, only an idiot needs a recipe for a pound cake. You just gotta remember what goes into one. You take a pound of flour.
You see, Cletus, you like things with flour.
Like dandelion wine.
No, that's the other flour. Never mind. What else?
Then a pound of sugar.
Oh, boy.
And a pound of butter. And a pound of eggs.
Now, see there, that sounds delicious.
And a pound of salt.
A pound of what?
And a pound of cinnamon.
You used a pound of cinnamon?
Well, we didn't have a whole pound, so I just used what we had left. I'd say it was about a cup.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that, CCR. I thought it was all dark like that because you done burned it. I guess it must have been because of the cinnamon.
That's right. It's definitely not burnt. I only left it under the coals for a couple hours. Now, let's all enjoy some cake.
Gee, I wonder what it would be like with that fancy synonym.
You put the lid on the pan before you put the coals on top, right?
I don't rightly remember.
Golly, says you are, that just filled me up so much. I couldn't eat another bite.
Why, thank you.
Oh, I mean it. Please don't make me eat another bite.
Now, Cletus, don't you be an ingrate. I told you your sister worked real hard on that cake. Granted, most people take all those ingredients and mix them all up well before cooking them. But can neither of us cook, so I don't want to hear one word about how completely terrible your sister cooking is.
That's right.
It might be the worst taste you've ever let slip past your lips, including that time you ate a raw woodchuck liver on a bet, and there's no need for you to say that.
Exactly.
And even though every plum fool knows there ain't no pound of salt in a cake recipe, you will keep your lip buttoned up tight.
Hey!
And even though you've had tobacco that tasted less like smoke...
Bite your tongue, you overstuffed polecat.
Now stop! I don't want to be an ingrate. I just don't want to eat any more cake.
All right, Cletus. Calm down.
I mean, never! I don't think my constipation could stand it.
You mean your constitution?
No, Brother Barnabas! In fact, I think I better head to the outhouse right now. That cake ain't sitting well.
Well, good job. You just poisoned your own brother.
Don't give me any ideas.
Why not? If you was trying to cook something deadly, it could only improve your food.
Well, it ain't like you or Cletus is ever any help.
Of course we ain't. Cooking is women's work. Everybody knows that.
Well, maybe you need to find a different woman to be doing that work. Why do you have that dumb look on your face?
'Cause, Orly, you just gave me an idea.
Is he gonna be all right, Doc?
He'll be fine, Sam.
It's not gonna leave a scar, is it?
Well, it's not gonna heal quickly, but if you take care of it, Slim, you'll probably be all right. What exactly happened, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, Slim's got a notion to go out courting, so he thought he'd shave himself all neat.
Courting? Courting whom?
He won't tell me, Doc, but Slim is certainly not the type to kiss and tell.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I didn't know he was shaving, and then I saw a coyote heading for our sheep. I took a shot at it and scared poor Slim while he was getting that spot under his chin.
Well, he got it all right. We can try a plaster on this, but it'll heal faster if I stitch it for you. Slim? Slim?
Oh, he's all right, Doc. He knows stitching takes needles, and Slim don't care for needles.
You're telling me he fainted?
Check him yourself if you don't believe me.
Breathing normal, heartbeat steady. Well, I guess you're right. May as well stitch this up while he's out. Could you hand me that basin, Sam?
Is this what you're gonna use, Doc?
Yeah. I honestly don't know why I didn't see that coming. You may as well come in. I'm not gonna make it to the door anytime soon.
Oh.
You all right, Sam?
Oh, what happened?
You dropped my needle and fainted like a hero.
Oh, I know that, Doc. I mean, what happened to him?
What?
It ain't my fault, Doc. I told him to keep all that blood on the inside, but he wouldn't listen.
Sweet azaleas.
Sawbones, I don't mean to impose, but...
What did you do?
He was shaving, Doc.
With what, a bread knife?
I'll have you know it was my pappy's razor blade. It's just a little old, that's all.
All right. In order of importance, sit down before you pass out.
Ow!
Hold that up to the cut before you bleed out.
It ain't nothing.
And finally, stop talking.
Yeah, Barnabas. That cut's right on your jawline. Every time you talk, it's probably making it bigger.
No, Sam. I want him to stop talking because he's annoying me. Now, while I'm washing off my needle, will someone tell me why no one in this town has ever heard of a barber?
Oh, we got a barber, Doc.
Really? because the presence of multiple shaving injuries in my office would seem to say otherwise. If we have a barber, why aren't you using him?
Are you two talking about Shaky Hands Johnson? Is he still alive?
It really serves me right for asking. Sam, see if you can wake Slim and take him outside for a bit. Too many bodies in here, and I really should see to Barnabas first.
You got it, Doc. Slim! Slim! Come on, buddy. We need to step outside for a bit. We'll get you fixed up in a few minutes. Why, hello, Miss Jessie.
Hi, Sam. Well, Silas, I brought over some of these rolls I made last night, but I'm guessing lunch isn't going to happen, is it?
Miss Malone,
What the?
Oh, for goodness sake.
What just happened?
Golly, Miss Jessie. Ain't it obvious? Brother Barnabas saw a pretty young lady come in the room, and he stood up in her presence like a gentleman.
Don't call me Brother Barnabas.
And of course it never occurred to him how bad standing up with that much blood loss could be.
You really need a nurse, Silas.
Are you volunteering, sis?
To help you take care of him? No, big brother. No, I am not. Kitty, can I borrow your gun?
I feel like this is a trick question.
Alex?
We're friends, Miss Jessie, but not that close, I don't think.
Please, I don't have to shoot to kill. Just maybe some lead in a strategic location.
You're not helping your case as much as you might think.
Jessie, why don't you sit down?
I don't need to.
You do, actually. Let's have it.
Can I get special permission to shoot every man in this town?
Every man?
Well, not Silas. And not Caleb, for what it's worth. But for the rest, yeah, pretty much.
Well, as long as it's not my husband, then I'm sure we can arrange for that special permission. I think that's just form number 17B, right, Kitty? I'm being facetious. Never mind. Jody, can you bring us all something with a little kick to it?
On the way.
So tell me what's got a burr under your saddle, as though I didn't know.
I have been approached by 4 different men today. 2 of them invited me to go with them on a buggy ride. 1 of them asked me if I'd care for a stroll over by the ravine, and 1 man asked me if I would be interested in getting married. I don't even know his name.
Tall feller, black hair, looks like a mule kicked him in the ear, repeatedly.
That was him.
Yeah, Tom came in here to drink away his sorrows when you turned him down. Honestly, you've been a boon to my business these past few days.
Oh, I know Tom. He's nice.
He asked me to marry him.
That may be true, but it's no reason to get so fired up. Let me guess. Tom walked into your shop, took his hat off, and then asked if you'd consider marrying an ugly varmint like him. Then, when you said no, he nodded his head in understanding and said, "Thank you for your time," and walked out. Am I close?
Word for word.
That's because he's asked every unwed woman in Sweet Ravine at one point or another. I told him he was mighty young for me when he asked.
Not exactly a catch, but Tom's harmless and he won't bother you again. Now, if any of your future suitors refuse to accept your rejection, well, then we got something to talk about. But until then, you are not allowed to shoot them. They asked, you said no. As long as that's the end of it, then that's the end of it.
Why is this happening?
Because it's almost winter, and now the whole town knows you can cook.
Knows I can cook?
I realize the weather hasn't been anything to speak about this year, but folks around here know what winter in Dakota is usually like. And if given the choice to spend it alone or spend it with someone who knows how to make a good pie, well, there ain't much choice there at all.
It was a really good pie.
There's an old saying that a pretty face fades with time, but good cooking lasts forever. I've heard that a few times.
As the best cook in town, it took Jody some time to get everyone used to the idea that she would be a shoe in the walk down the aisle. Thank you very much.
Never found the right feller, Jody?
Not the topic of discussion, Kitty. The point is, you've got men out in the middle of nowhere, and if their minds are more fixed on how to keep them and their cows from starving to death over the winter than how to make a lady's heart go pitter-pat, well, that's sort of to be expected.
So, because I won the pie contest, this is just going to keep happening?
You could get engaged. Worked out well for me.
Pipsqueak, I don't believe you're helping the situation.
Look, I suppose a more gracious person might be able to say they're flattered. I'm not. I'm just annoyed. I'm not looking to start courting men who just want me to feed them. I'm not looking to sell my shop and spend the winter with a random farmer I've never met.
And where do you stand on babies?
Oh, sweet azaleas.
Yeah, sort of figured you hadn't thought that far ahead.
Alex, you have to help me.
Of course. I'll assign Kitty to stand guard over you with the town whomping stick. Any man who tries to ask you to socialize will receive a thorough whacking.
Are you being a face of peaches again, sir?
Facetious. The word is facetious. And yes, I am. Jesse, you want to get the mayor to pass a law saying no man in town is allowed to try to win your affections? You go ahead and try. But until such a law is passed, I'm not in a position to do much for you.
This is really bothering you, Jesse.
It really is.
Well then, let's fix that up for you. No need to get the law involved. Hey! If you folks would do me the courtesy of spreading some gossip as soon as it's convenient, I'd appreciate it. Now, y'all know Miss Jessie Malone, who owns our fine dress shop. She would like to make it clear that she is not interested in any romantic overtures at the present time. So tell your sons and your brothers and your cousins not to waste anyone's time. As a matter of fact, the very next man who comes up asking her to consider some potential canoodling will be guaranteed to walk away with a fat lip and a black eye for his troubles. If there is anybody out there who's honestly sweet on the young lady, just tell them to keep their mouths shut until the end of the year. Maybe at that time, she'll be amenable to negotiations. That is all.
I'm not sure whether to be embarrassed or impressed.
Yes.
Is that really gonna work?
Give it a little time for the word to spread.
Or, if this happens the way I foresee it will, I think the word spreading will not be a slow process.
Excuse me, Miss Jessie.
Barnabas. I can honestly say I've never been happier to see you.
Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Here, Kitty, we saved you a seat.
Thank you. I hate to be late, but Slim wasn't quite sober when I woke him up in the cell this morning.
If he wants to court Clarabel, that's his business, but he probably shouldn't go drink for drink with her.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, on this beautiful morning. I've always been of the belief that the good Lord sometimes sends the weather to keep us humble. When we're happy as a lark and feel like dancing in the sunshine, he sends us the rain to remind us of those who are weeping. And on a day like today, when my heart is quite heavy, he sends warm, glorious sunshine on what would be a gray November's day any other year. Now, why is my heart heavy? Well, neighbors, I have some news I have not yet shared with you all. As you know, I've been here at this church sharing the good news with you for more than 20 years. Well, as much as it pains me to say, there will not be another year of that. I'm an old man, and every year it's been getting a little harder to say no when my sister asks me to come and live with her and her family. It's gotten so hard, in fact, that this time I didn't say no. Now, you all know I would never even think about leaving our fair town without taking special care to make sure you're not walking that straight and narrow path without guidance. There's a young man in our midst who will be taking over the leadership of this congregation. He comes from the same Bible college I went to back east. Please, give a warm welcome to a man I have no trouble entrusting your souls to, the Right Reverend Luke Thompson.
Oh,
you all right, Jesse?
Exactly how long is it until the end of the year?
There's much to be learned about love at a banquet. Sometimes the prettiest morsel don't taste the sweetest. Sometimes it takes a few gorkfuls to really decide you like the taste of a certain delicacy. And sometimes, even when your stomach is sour and you've sworn off even one more bite of food ever, well, the fact is, for the right treat, you might just find your appetite whetted. You have been listening to Rawhide Law, Episode 13, produced by Seat of Our Pants Players, written and directed by Dan Wenzel. Alex was Jill Wenzel. Caleb was Dan Wenzel. Reverend Michaels was Ray Greenley. Kitty was Brianna Kuby. Jesse was Rebecca Scheimer. Aura Lee was Andy Gastengee. Barnabas was Andrew Dell. Cletus was Adam Gastengee. Silas was Aaron Manka White. Sam was Rick Tennant. And Jody was Liz Music. Cowboy Sting and Fig Leaf Times 2 by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Other music and sound effects by www.freesfx.co.uk. Thanks for listening, partners. We'll see you next time.
And a special thank you to each and every one of our Patreon supporters who make this show even more awesome. Check us out on patreon.com/seatofourpantsplayers.
All one word.